Hello and welcome to Harvest Church Podcast. Harvest Church is based in sunny Durban, South Africa. We are a family of believers who are passionate about Jesus. We really hope this message inspires you today.
We love your presence, Lord. We absolutely love your presence. In Psalm 63, David says, "Nothing satisfies me like your presence." And we echo that this morning, Lord, across Harvest Church and across this beautiful family, that nothing satisfies our souls better than your presence. And so we thank you that you are here. We know that you are with us all the time. And so we honor your presence. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Can I just ask one more question, please? Just during praise and worship, I just felt that God specifically wanted to go after anybody that was struggling with anxiety or even depression. This is family. So if that might be you sitting here this morning, would you mind just raising your hand? If you're struggling with anxiety or depression, there's somebody over there. Tanya, can I please ask you to go and gather around our dear friend? Is there anybody else that I've missed? Two, three, right here. Guys, please, can I just ask church, guys, won't you just gather around people? I need some guys here. Come and gather around Stu, Clive, Kerry, thank you. Was there anybody else? Did I miss anyone? I just want to make sure that the Spirit of God is here right now to release. There was somebody at the back there. Judy, please, can somebody just go and stand at the court at the back with Judy? If you just lift her up right now. This is beautiful when the bride of Christ is activated. The bride of Christ. So why won't you pray? And everybody else, can I ask you, just to close your eyes if it helps, but just to pray. Right now, looks like there's one, two, three, four people that are struggling with anxiety and depression, and we command it to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word, and that better word we declare over these four beautiful people in Jesus' name, and we release your mind right now in Jesus' name. We declare wholeness over your mind. We declare wholeness over you in Jesus' name. And we thank you for healing, God, right now in Jesus' name. Spirit of God, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh, Lord, on these four beautiful souls and release them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Beautiful. Beautiful. I love to see the bride of Christ active. I love to see the church active. I wonder what it was like in the book of Acts. I know we can read Acts throughout the book and we can understand a little bit of what the church was like. But you know, if they were in the upper room while they were waiting for the gift the Father was sending, can you just imagine what it was like in that time of praise and worship, preaching the word of God? So I get excited when I just think about the Lord, when I think about his presence. It activates you and I, and it changes lives and it changes situations. I'm going to read a few verses to you this morning. Not sure if you guys bring your Bibles to church, and maybe you do on your phone or a tablet, but if you have your Bible, can I ask you to open it for me, please, to the book of Numbers, and we're going to start. I'm going to read about 5, 6, 7 verses. I'll lay a little bit of a foundation, and then I'll go into three habits that I'd like to impart to you this morning. Is that okay? Right, so we're going to start Numbers chapter 8, and I trust as I go through the word and as we read, so you will pick up on the direction that we're going this morning. So Numbers 9, and verse 8. Beautiful. It says, Moses answered, obviously he was asked a question. But Moses answered, wait here until you receive instructions for you from the Lord. It's critical. He says, wait here. Let's go to Psalm 27. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It's Psalm 27 and verse 14. And it says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. You need to be brave. You need to be courageous while you wait for the Lord. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. A couple of pages over, Psalm 62. 62 verse 1 says, I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from Him. And verse 5, it says, let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. You're getting the theme? You're getting the picture? Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30, 18. This is an interesting one. So the Lord must wait for you to come to Him. I quite like that. So that He can show you His love and His compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for His help. Isn't it amazing that we've read four or five verses where it says, wait before the Lord. But in this verse, it says that the Lord waits for you to come to Him. It's an invitation. I want you to go to Lamentations 3, verse 26. Who's read the book of Lamentations lately? Leanne has. Lamentations is just after Jeremiah, if you're wondering where it is. It's in the Bible, the Old Testament. So Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 26. Beautiful verse. It says, so it is good to wait quietly for the salvation from the Lord. So we are four or five verses where we're supposed to wait before the Lord. And here in Lamentations, it says it is good to wait quietly. You know, in today's society and today's world of instant coffee, fast internet. Yeah, fast internet. We want everything done immediately. I'm the worst when it comes to waiting. I really do struggle with waiting. I get frustrated very quickly, and if it wasn't for Jeannie, kind of like, hold on, Will, take it easy, chill. I hate queuing. I absolutely hate queuing. And then it's the toll gates, even the worst. You approach the gate and you're like, Jeannie, which one is open? Which one has got the least amount of cars? And you eventually get into a queue and just sit there, just wait, just chill. Others try and push in, pull it, whatever they try and do to get through the toll gates, but we've got to wait patiently. I've got three memes. Katie, could you just pop them up for me, please? Take a number. I don't know if you visit SARS, maybe DSTV. That might ring a bell with you, what it's like to wait, to see how old they get waiting. The second one, your call is very important to us. Please continue to hold. I think we can resonate to that one quite a bit. And then the third one, my favorite. Waiting for friends to decide where to eat after church. So waiting, I think it doesn't come naturally to us. But it's amazing that the Word of God implores us to wait patiently for Him. If I read the book of Acts chapter 1, we know the favorite verse where Jesus says to His disciples, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised you. And if you read the rest of chapter 1, it shows that the waiting was an action, was active. So if there's anything that I've learned from the Lord in the last 47 years of walking with Him, is that waiting is an active thing that I do. Waiting is not just expecting God to do it for me. You see, if I expected God to do things for me, then He'd be my concierge, my bellhop. Click my finger and God runs. But that's not who He is. God is not to be treated that way. God is not to be treated in a way that I, Father, I need your help and I need it now, so please answer. And when he doesn't, I become disillusioned and I say, God's not talking to us anymore. God is not my bellhop. He's not my concierge. He is the living God. He is the almighty God who knows everything. Richard reminded us at the first meeting that he knew you by name, Clive, before the formation of the world. That's an amazing picture. If you let that comprehend and sink into your spirit, that he knew you, he knew how your life would pan out, Stuart. I said I'd mention your name. He knew that you'd marry Sandy. He knew the kids you have. He knew the funny videos you guys would put together. He knew you before the formation of the world. So why don't we wait quietly and patiently for him? So in the book of Acts, as I said to you, it was an amazing picture of how they waited in an active way, preaching, praying. They even released Matthias into ministry while they were waiting for the gift that the Father had promised them. So this morning I want to speak to you about engaging his presence in the waiting. What does it look like for you in the waiting, waiting for healing, waiting for breakthrough, waiting for the promises of God to be fulfilled and released in your life and through you? What is it like to engage his presence in those moments of waiting? So I want to take you to Book of Mark, chapter 1. I'm going to paint a little picture for you. So Mark is quite a nice book. I enjoy it. So it starts where Jesus is in the synagogue and he is preaching, speaking, and all of a sudden some guy stands up filled with a demon and evil spirit, and Jesus releases this guy, declares him whole, and the whole synagogue and the village starts to talk about Jesus. Jesus is then on his way to Peter's home because he's going to have dinner with Peter that night. I don't know what they ate, probably fish, because Peter was a fisherman. So fish was on the coals, I imagined. But when they arrive to the house, they find Peter's mom upstairs sick with a fever, lying in bed. I love what Jesus does. He walks upstairs, he takes her by the hand. He doesn't say a thing. He doesn't beg the Father to heal. He doesn't do anything. He simply takes her by the hand, lifts her up, and the fever goes. I just stand amazed at the way Jesus does stuff. Other times he spits in the ground, takes mud, rubs it on the guy's eyes. Imagine you and I did that today. Hey? Imagine there was something wrong and I spit in the ground and I rub it on your eyes and I say, go and dunk yourself 7 times in the Umgeni River. You'd think we're bananas, man. But it's amazing what Jesus does. Because that Jesus did not just do things to cause a stir. He did things as the Father led him. That was amazing. So the first point that I want to mention to you this morning is withdraw to a quiet place to pray. And I want to encourage you this morning, 3 habits. Number one, to withdraw to a quiet place to pray. I know life is busy. And I know with the pandemic and masks and everything else that we have to endure, that life has had to shift and turn and change. And we've had to embrace all this new things that all these different things that we're experiencing. But I want to implore you, and I love that word, it sounds good. I want to implore you again this morning to find time to withdraw to quiet places to be with the Lord. So, in Numbers chapter 19 and verse 3, it's a beautiful picture of Moses. The Bible says Moses ascended the mountain to appear before the Lord, to appear before God. So this is a beautiful picture. Moses leaves everything behind him, all the distractions, all the issues of the people, and he ascends the mountain to appear before God. That word appear, in some translations, it says that he presented himself before the Father. That word presented himself or appearing before God in the original Hebrew is Shema, S-H-E-M-A, Shema. Shema is an amazing word because it actually translates to listen, pay attention, and respond with action. Same coin, 2 sides of the coin, same thing. Shema means to listen, to pay attention, and to respond with action. So Moses goes up the mountain to Shema before God to listen and to pay attention and then to be able to respond with action. It's an amazing picture that. When we understand what Moses, you see, Moses didn't go there and grumble before the Lord about the Israelites. He didn't go there with a list of quarrels and problems that he had. Because we also understand Matthew 6:33, where Jesus says, I know the things that you need, but seek me first. So Moses knew that as he Shema before his father, there's going to be a download of heaven and he'll be able to do something. So in Mark chapter 1, Jesus is now going to Peter's house to have supper. He heals Peter's mom. And after dinner, as the sun sets, the Bible says that crowds of people from the village came to Peter's home and into the village square to get healed and to have demons released from them. And so Jesus ministers most of that night. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I can imagine if there were crowds of people, it could have taken 2 or 3 hours. And this was after the sun had set. So maybe by 11 or 12 o'clock at night, Jesus is going to bed. Make sense? But the crowds are absolutely enthralled by the miracles that he performs. The Bible then goes on to say in verse 35, I think it's Mark 2:35, it says that while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he withdrew to a quiet place to Shema before his father. Moses, so many years before, climbs the mountain to Shema before his father to appear, to present himself, to listen, to pay attention, to respond with action. And Jesus does the same in Mark chapter 1, or Mark 2:35. It's a beautiful picture of Jesus doing exactly what Moses did so many years later. Now back in the morning, Peter is up early. He's looking for Jesus because the crowds have now gathered again at the home. More and more people, they want healing. You know, you can just imagine what's happening. Now Peter, this is just give me a little bit of license. He was a fisherman. And remember Luke 5, miraculous catch of fish. He called his partners to come over and help. So I think Peter knew how to kind of delegate a little bit. So I can imagine he's up early in the morning and he thinks, hey, the crowds have gathered. Let's organize somebody with a marquee because we need a bit of shade. There's a lot of people needing healing. Let's get a carpenter around. Let's make a stage so that Jesus can be seen by everybody. Oh, by the way, bring water. I know what Jesus can do with water. Bring lots of water. Might be a long day that we're going to be here. And I can just imagine all these preparations are taking place in the village square around Capernaum near Peter's home. And everybody's waiting anxiously for Jesus. And Peter can't find him. And the disciples, they can't find Jesus. The Bible says that later that morning, they find him. Now remember where Jesus had been? With his father. It is so easy for you and I to be distracted by the crowds, by the pull of work, the distraction of school and kids and whatever else, that we forget to withdraw to a quiet place to be with our Father. So when the disciples eventually find Jesus, they say to him, the crowds have gathered. People are waiting to be healed. And Jesus says, my Father has asked me to go to the other towns and preach the gospel there as well. And all of a sudden, he's not drawn by the crowds. He's not drawn by the familiarity. He's not drawn by heroism. He's drawn by his Father. So when you and I withdraw to quiet places and we Shema before our God, we go there to pay attention and to listen and to respond with action. Obviously, there's a download that comes from heaven. And I want to encourage you, friends, in the busyness of time and where we're at in life at the moment, we need to Shema more and more and more as we position ourselves before the Father, as we withdraw to quiet places and be alone with Him. You want breakthrough in your life? Withdraw to quiet places. Pay attention. Listen. Respond with action. You want your healing? Withdraw to quiet places. Shema before God. Listen. Pay attention. That means no cell phone when I'm quiet with the Lord. It means I close the door if I have to. Walk on the beach. I love walking on the stretch of beach in front of, I won't tell you because then you'll all go there. Yeah, there, Toti somewhere, you know. Love to walk there, you know. It's in that quiet place where we withdraw to be alone with our God that he starts to download kingdom to you and I. That changes our perspective and it changes our hearts. So withdraw to quiet places to be with the Lord. Point number two. Habit number two I want to encourage you with is to ask God's perspective on every matter. It's far too often, friends, and I've done it countless times. I've done it far too often where I think it's a good idea, so I'm just going to run with it. And eventually it kind of works out to disaster, and I say, but God, I thought you were in this thing. And I actually hadn't taken the time to ask him his perspective. So in 1 Samuel 14, verse 36, in the Living Translation, Saul says, guys, let's chase the Philistines all night. Let's plunder them until sunrise. Let's destroy every last one of them. And his men replied, we'll do whatever you think is best. And then the priest pops up. It's got to be the priest, eh? The priest pops up and he says, let's ask God first. So there must have been an excitement in that time. Saul had just conquered a whole lot of guys. They had just defeated an army. Let's continue. Let's plunder them throughout the night. And the priest says, no, hold on. What does God say about this? What does God want? In Judges 18, it's a beautiful picture. In verse 5, the tribe of Dan have not yet been allotted their piece of land, or they had not received their allotment of land. And so the tribe's leaders, they send out five warriors. The Bible talks about five warriors to go out and scout out the land. And as they go out, they encounter a Levite priest. And they stop before him and they say, what does God say? Will God be with me on this journey? And the priest answers back and he says, go, because the victory is yours. So it's a beautiful picture when you and I start to ask God his perspective on every situation or circumstance you encounter, you'll start seeing the breakthrough in your life. He knows best. Remember, he formed you, created you before the formation of the world. He knows every hair on your head. He knows your thoughts before you think them. Why don't we ask him his perspective on everything? I'm just standing here now and I just see Lloyd and I just remember a testimony and I hope I get this right, Lloyd. So please, Lloyd and Karen have four kids. And there was something that God said to him I remember him telling us the story and I'm going to paraphrase it very quickly. But Father, what are you calling me to, was Lloyd's kind of words to the father. And God said to him, you have kids and I'll look after you and I'll provide. Don't you worry. And so as soon as he heard that, and he's able to put that into action, but God, you said so, he's living in a place of fulfillment and a place of honoring the Father because he's doing what God has called him to do. Now, I'm not saying everyone go out and have four kids. I'm just simply saying when we start to hear the voice of God, it changes situations in our lives, it changes our perspective, and we start living in a victorious place. So I want to have a look at 2 Samuel chapter 2. Get you guys to run through your Bibles a bit today. Huh? Maybe on your phone, you're flicking, trying to find 2 Samuel. So talking about asking God's perspective. 2 Samuel chapter 2. Now remember Saul and Jonathan just being killed on the battlefield. And in chapter 1, David writes a song in honor of Jonathan and Saul. And after this, David asked the Lord, should I move back to one of the towns of Judah? Yes, the Lord replied. It might sound something quite simple, but this is David, anointed 20 years prior to be king of Israel and Judah. At this moment, when Saul and Jonathan are dead, he doesn't assume anything. He asks God, what is his perspective? Important for you and I to do the same. In chapter 5, verse 19, David conquers the Philistines is the heading of that chapter. The Philistines hear that he is now anointed king over Judah. They want to attack, and David asked the Lord, what should he do? And God says to him, go, attack, and I will give you the victory. Everywhere throughout Samuel 1 and Samuel 2, and you can read it in Chronicles, it is littered with places where it says that David inquired of the Lord. David asked the Lord. David said to the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. And every single time when God answered him, God gave him the victory. It goes on to say in chapter 8, it's beautiful. It says, in fact, the Lord made David victorious everywhere he went. Don't you and I live in that place? Don't you and I want to live in a place of absolute victory day after day after day? Inquire of the Lord. Ask him his perspective. So here's a thing that I thought about during the week. In Ephesians, let me find it quickly. Ephesians 2 verse 6, you and I are seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. Am I right? You all agree? We are seated in heavenly places with Jesus. In Hebrews 7 verse 25, it says that Jesus now lives forever to intercede on your behalf before the Father. So that means, Kerry, right now, Jesus is praying for you. Stu, right now. Don, right now, Jesus is praying for you. Sam, Milo, can you guys get it? John, right now, Jesus is praying for you. So if I'm seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places and he is constantly praying for me, I want to know what he's praying. Because when I agree with him and I agree with heaven, I see his kingdom come. So friends, for you and I to withdraw to quiet places, to shema before God, to listen and to pay attention. Remember, Jesus didn't give in Mark 2, he didn't present a shopping list of his needs. Lord, you're calling me, Father, you're calling me to go to the other towns and preach. I don't have a tent, I don't have a meal, I don't know how to get there, I need a donkey. Didn't say any of that. Just the anointing of God upon his life. He knew that as he went, the resources would come. He didn't have to ask for resources. You and I, far too often, we ask God for resources. We ask him for the things we need to accomplish the task he has set for us. In the meantime, I'm saying, go, because I've called you. I've anointed you. Something that Tanya read this morning in Isaiah. You've been anointed to preach the good news. That is your and my job, our responsibility. Through our lifestyle, through our encounter with people in supermarkets, place of work, on the beach, whatever it might look like, riding your bicycle on a weekend, you're anointed to preach the good news. And as we go and we start to speak the word of God over people's lives and situations, kingdom comes. Kingdom comes. So point number two, take the time to ask God his perspective. If you're looking at buying a car, and I love to use this as an example, you've got no idea what's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years. Yet it's so easy for us to sign on the bottom line, to put ourselves for 5 years. I'm not saying don't buy a car. Don't get me wrong. I'm just simply saying, what does God say? What is God's perspective? I was listening to somebody else a couple of months ago. And I was reading a book, and I think it was Mark Batterson. He leads a church in Washington. And I think what he's encouraging his church to do is to, why don't you trust God for cash to buy a house? Why have we, and I'm probably asking myself this question, why have we succumbed to the system of this world that says take debt, sign on the line, get credit, do what you need to, instead of trusting God who knows you, who knows the future, who knows what 3 months and 60 months and 70 months is going to look like in your life? Why don't we ask him his perspective on everything we do, like David did? Father, do I move to this town? Yes. Do I go there? Yes. Will I fight the Philistines and their victory? Yes. Inquire of God. Ask him his perspective, and you'll see his kingdom come. Point number three. Are we okay? Does that sound good? Point number three, and I'm going to try and go through it quickly. Activate your faith by declaring the word of God. And I absolutely love this. I'm not going to go through the notes at the moment. I'm just going to stand here and give you 2 minutes of what I feel. Is that okay? On faith. Faith in the original Greek is belief, full assurance. That means I am fully assured of what God said would happen, will happen. That is faith. Faith is me taking his word and speaking it over a situation and expecting what God said would happen to happen. That's faith. James says, faith without deeds, useless, waste of time. I can't just hear the word of God, read the word of God, and do nothing about it. As soon as I start to speak the word of God over my life, over my situation, over circumstances we face, the word of God is truth. It is active. It is like a double-edged sword that cuts between soul, bone, and marrow, and it changes lives and it changes situations. Friends, you and I need to get to know this more. And as we activate our faith by declaring the word of God over lives and situations, we should see the change happening. So Nehemiah, we love the story of Nehemiah because he gets to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls and rehang the gates. We're all familiar with the story? You remember it? But in chapter 8, an important part happens. Ezra the priest stands up. And remember that the Israelites had been in exile for 70 years, and none of them had had the word of God. Ezra, the Bible says in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, that he stands up, and as he stands up, he opens the word of God. And as he opens the word of God, the crowd stand in awe of the word. And as Ezra starts to read, he's not preaching, he's reading the word of God. People's lives started to change. Bible says in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, they started weeping and their lives were changed because he was reading the word of God to them. You want to see a change happen in your life and in my life and in our city? If we have been called as Harvest Church to influence a region, then friends, we must get into this thing. Get this into us. And as we start speaking the word, remember what the Bible says. It says that you've been given everything you need for life and godliness. That means that you will not face anything in life that this book doesn't have an answer for. So the more you and I know it, the more we can declare it over situations and see the change happen. I'm sure like most of you, I'm quite sure all of you, I'm absolutely in love with Jesus. I love his word. I love how it changes me. I love how it changes the world around me. And the more I can learn it, the more I can understand it, the more I can apply it to my life, the better. You and I want to see a world changed. Why don't we withdraw to quiet places? Let's listen and pay attention. Let's not treat him like a bellhop or a concierge or give him a list of needs that we have. The Bible says that when Jesus withdrew to quiet places, when Moses withdrew to quiet places, they went there to listen and to pay attention. And as they got a download of heaven after asking God's perspective, there's a response that they could action. So for you and I to change the world around us, and that's why we're here. I'm not here for a luxury life. I'm not here for a coochie-coochie-coo kind of cozy, you know. I'm here to change the world. I'm here to change the world. And you and I are going to do it as we activate faith by speaking the word of God over situations and over people's lives, over the taxi violence, over xenophobia, over whatever issue you think we might be facing in this city and in our nation. Pray the word of God and you see change take place. Why don't you stand with me, please? I love that song that we sang earlier, Worthy is Your Name. It's powerful. Why don't you close your eyes and just right now just a posture before the Father. Father, we love you. Jesus, your name is worthy of all the praise and all the accolades. We just want to tell you that we love you. Holy Spirit, right now, just an impartation, I pray. What is it like for us to withdraw to quiet places to be with you? To ask your perspective on every issue we face, and then to declare your word in faith, knowing that it will happen. Father, I declare this over Harvest Church this morning, that we'll be a church, we'll be a family, we'll be a community that is sent to our city, to our nation and the nations of the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves. In Jesus' name, amen.